Hi, this is Travis Perry from Travis's Big Idea Podcast. It's May 28th in the morning as I'm recording right now, which happens to be my birthday. Happy birthday to me. I spend my time talking to a microphone, at least the first thing in the morning. Anyway, I wanted to talk today about Story World Idea. I've been doing a series about Story World Ideas I'm giving away. That is for anyone to use if you want to use it or if it inspires you to your own use of ideas. One broad idea about this particular set of ideas, we could say it's more than one idea, is how hard science fiction, which I think some people really don't like that much, especially people who are fans of space opera or fantasy, as hard science fiction can inspire different ways of looking at the world, quite unusual ways of looking at the world, create unusual story settings, and really should be something somebody could consider. So if we think about that, as we're about to do, nanites and how nanites could possibly be in the future, how that they might change technology, how space travel is performed, or how healthcare is done. Thinking about these kind of things could create a radically different story setting. And in fact, that's part of what we've experienced in the history of the world. The world has radically changed. It used to be people got around by cars, but now we can fly an aircraft. And there's many other things that are coming in the future, assuming that the world, you know, stays going as it is without destroying itself or coming to an apocalyptic end, as per the book of Revelation in the Bible or something like that. But as things are now, it seems that technology will continue to develop and give us strange, unusual things we never expected, including nanites. So since nanites are a part of the future, how do they affect stories or stories about the future, stories of science fiction? And then even we'll get around to an application for fantasy, where this is a science fiction, hard science fiction focused podcast, but I will throw a bone to fantasy fans here in a bit. First, let's talk about what's a nanite. Well, there's many different possible definitions of nanite, but you know, generally what I think most people know what we're talking about. Tiny, tiny machines that people could build that actually could reproduce themselves. Their size might be as small as just a few molecules. That's probably too small, but they're definitely, we're talking about something that's microscopic, very tiny. And maybe even some nanites would have to be built out of a specific material, but others could be adaptable, that the same functioning machine could use different atomic elements. That's a possible design feature of at least some nanites. So one particular thing that I think nanites would be useful for and really should be featured more in speculative fiction stories would be for space travel. And why would that be? Well, it's because in spite of hypothetical ideas like warp drive or hyperdrive or stargates or stuff like that, the easiest, most straightforward way, and this is a kind of a hard science fiction thing, to get into outer space is to go faster. And of course, there's a cosmic speed limit of how fast we can go, the speed of light. But that speed limit still gets you places a lot faster than walking, right? It's better than nothing. It'll get you to the nearest stars. The thing about it is, if you're a science fiction fan, you might think, because there's a lot of different things that mention, let's say in Star Trek, you might have a matter, antimatter engine that gets you up to near light speed at impulse drive, is what they'd call if you're really into the Star Trek universe. Gets you up to that speed relatively easily, or maybe an atomic power plant could do so. But the truth is, the amount of energy involved in getting a craft up to light speed is enormous. Somebody actually did the math in something called Project Valkyrie, and they calculated that if they built a craft that weighed about 100 tons, to get it up to 92% the speed of light would require an additional 100 tons of antimatter. Antimatter, which is the most energy-dense stuff even, you know, known at all, hypothetically or otherwise, antimatter, 100 tons of it to move 100 tons up to 92% the speed of light. And that's not talking deceleration speed. So what that tells us is that the amount of energy needed in reality, if we're just going to be slightly realistic, not necessarily totally hard fiction, is so high that getting up near the speed of light is really a practical impossibility for most craft. Now, maybe the Project Valkyrie craft is inefficient in the means by which it uses its antimatter. That's a possible option. But for me, it was a real eye-opener about how much energy is really required to get up to that speed. We already do accelerate little tiny things up to near the speed of light in particle accelerators. Sometimes as something as big as an atomic nucleus of gold, I think is the largest thing I've ever heard, being accelerated near to the speed of light. Well, it's something we can do with a particle accelerator because the things are so tiny. tiny. So if you put a particle accelerator in space, or something equivalent to that, an electromagnetic gun, and you could shoot nanites out much more efficiently than you could build spacecraft. And as a matter of fact, if you could build a lot of nanites, you could send them to all surrounding stars in an area and have them programmed that when they arrive, they would reproduce themselves and then build something, but per their programming, they could send a message back to Earth or to wherever we are, if we're talking about a hypothetical future civilization or an alien civilization, back to their home planet. Now, of course, if they're coming in at the speed of light, how are they going to slow down? And making them a little bit smaller than the most microscopic and allow them could possibly be designed to slow themselves through magnetic fields. At least magnetic fields have a possible potential of slowing them down. And if you send enough of them, at least some are going to survive that slowing down process and have the chance to reproduce. That's kind of the idea, that they would survive, have a chance to reproduce, and build you what you need. And since that's so efficient and so much cheaper than building even a single starship, you'd think that aliens or us in the future would use such technology. Now, I think there are science fiction stories that feature nanites, but I'm just saying that because nanites are so much more efficient in use of energy because they're so small, they really should be much more common than they already are. However, if we imagine these nanites as explorers, exploring or exploration isn't actually the simplest thing to do, is it now? Because you'd have to have them programmed to build some kind of probe to send a message back at the very least, or else the exploration isn't worth anything. You can't get the information back. It's much more efficient or easy to use nanites as weapons, to send them to another world for the purpose of attacking all life. Imagine that there's a set of paranoid aliens that are terrified at the idea of another alien race coming after them. So they just decide that prophylactically, they're going to shoot these nanites and try to destroy all life other than their own. Now, that's not, hopefully, the way that any human beings would think. Actually, I know that some human beings would think this way, but the majority of us don't. But imagine that aliens do. So it could be that instead of an Independence Day type scenario of aliens invading from outer space, it could be we just have these nanites showing up in our atmosphere, that they land, they reproduce. I mean, I don't know. That's at least a potential story idea, rather terrifying one, but it is something that could potentially happen. And maybe that possibility is something that future stories would have to think about. However, even if you don't want to use that idea, because what I'm doing is I'm suggesting ideas to people interested in writing and making stories, maybe you don't like that idea, but imagine you still want to go with the classic space battle type thing. You kind of downplay the energy needs problem, but still want to have spaceships and still want to be at least semi-realistic. But you know, space fleets would want to use nanites too. They'd have them on board and use them as weapons and shoot them at each other. They would have anti-nanite defenses to keep them from attacking one another. They would probably use nanites as probes or very small probes, not just large probes that you could see easily, microscopic probes. They would also be useful for leaving messages for people who might come along later or spying devices. There's a lot of possible things that they could do, these particular nanites. So you would think that they would be a feature of all kinds of stories about the future, about space travel, even ones that are more maybe space opera. That would be something that teeny tiny devices would be important. Now, if you have these teeny tiny devices I mentioned a bit ago, you might want to defend against them. And you know, probably the most natural way to defend against nanites would be to have your own nanites. If you are full yourself of beneficial nanites, imagine you get inoculation like a flu vaccine of nanites, they could protect you from other people's nanites getting into you and attacking your body. So it might be that in the future, people would just routinely get themselves filled up with nanites. And there could be many benefits to that. Perhaps they could clear out plaques like in your arteries or brain, as people with Alzheimer's get brain plaques, or they could get rid of dead skin or kill off bacteria or viruses or help you assimilate into a Borg. Oh, wait a minute. Something I throw in there as a deliberate joke. That's not really a benefit, is it, right? So there's a negative downside, of course, to having nanites in your body all the time. Maybe they could be used in a way that you don't want. Nonetheless, maybe it would become standard that nanites would be a part of futuristic humans or maybe extraterrestrials. So the reason why I brought this particular idea up about nanites being in aliens or futuristic humans is I was actually thinking about the spread of diseases as European explorers and colonizers went around the world, they brought diseases with them. Well, that could actually happen instead of being diseases, being nanites. Let's say that advanced aliens are so used to having nanites, they've done it so long, it's become a cultural thing, they've even kind of forgotten that they are built like that. Or they just don't expect, there's an unexpected encounter with human beings, and they don't really expect us not to have nanites. Or, of course, the nice guy aliens are going to turn their nanites off or protect us from their nanites. But what if they're not nice guys? What if they're actual invaders? And they're not so much using their nanites to attack us in an invasion, but you just happen to be in contact with an alien who's an invader. Like the scene from Independence Day, Will Smith punches an alien. Well, let's imagine that the alien had nanites that were supposed to be beneficial to the alien, not necessarily meant to be attackers, but once they get on Will Smith's hand, that whatever the character's name was, they get into his body and attack him because his body is not the body they were designed to protect, and they attack anything that's not of the regular host body. So he gets it, he gets sick, and then it maybe spreads to other pilots or spreads to other people, maybe even threatening the entire human race. So I'm saying this idea of a nanite infection could parallel historic plagues and infections that we know. It's just with a different way, with a technological twist. And that's something that maybe we could write about. The common use of nanites or the common incorporation of nanites into aliens or futuristic humans could be a threat to the rest of us. So anyway, these are different ways to play with nanites as ideas. Now, I mentioned that I wanted to use or throw out a bone to fantasy writers that there's actually a way you could apply this idea. You know, of course, fantasy writing involves magic instead of technology, and there's a lot of people who probably are fantasy writers who really aren't that interested in tech. But just apply the idea of microscopic machines to a fantasy world. Let's say there's microscopic beings, a type of pixie, that are smaller than pixie dust. They're so tiny, you can't be seen, but they still can do things. Maybe they could also reproduce in large numbers. Maybe through the proper type of magic, they could be tamed and they could benefit a wizard's body, much the way aliens, I imagine, or futuristic humans could be benefited from nanites. But maybe there would be the same downside. Maybe if these pixies got into someone else's body, they would attack it. Maybe pixies could be used to espies or deliver messages, or, you know, many of the other things we use, maybe to travel long distances, maybe be easier to teleport a pixie because it's so tiny, if magic actually requires effort and uses energy. So there may be some of the same parallel situations could be used with some of these microscopic creatures, except with an important fantasy twist. They might have a will of their own. They might rebel against their owner deliberately. Actually, I wrote a science fiction story once in which nanites rebelled against their owners, but that's a different story. That was a science fiction approach because they gained, in my story, self-awareness. But let's just say that it's a feature of a fantasy world. So this kind of idea isn't limited to science fiction. It could have applications to a fantasy world. And I hope that you would find this idea interesting and maybe useful. So in conclusion, just to summarize some of my ideas here, nanites have been used before in science fiction. I think the most famous example is in Star Trek, where they're used by the Borg. But the idea of a nanite is so useful, so meaningful, so and so cheap in some ways, that you would think that any future spacefaring civilization would use them. In fact, in Star Trek terms, it would be not just the Borg that have them, the Klingons would have them, the Federation would have them, the Romulans would have them, everybody would have them because they're just so useful. And that's an interesting way to think about future stories. Even if you don't want to make nanites as important as I've made them, people would be at least aware of them and may possibly have them. Somebody would, because they're important, because they're cheaper to launch in space than full-sized explorers. That makes them better weapons. They can sit and wait, which makes them better defensive weapons. It could become so standard that they're part of a person's body that there'd be the issue of nanite infection. But anyway, those are my thoughts on this topic. I hope you find it interesting, inspirational. I hope that maybe it helps you develop story ideas that you wouldn't otherwise have. But if you have a comment that you'd like to put with this podcast where you see it broadcast, go ahead and put the comment. I don't have a lot of commentators right now, but maybe that'll change in the future. And thank you so much for listening, and have a good day.